Good evening. Welcome to Feldman World Radio. TV.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review, welcoming you in here to the June 10th, 2020 edition of the show. I want to thank you all for the support, and, you know, it's been crazy. I mean, things are just absolutely crazy. But one thing that I wanted to start out with is, you know, is something that's been bothering me for decades, really, as far as, you know, what fascism is versus communism. And is Antifa an anarchist element? Are they an anarchist group? Are they an anarchy? Is that what they're for, anarchy? And, you know, I have a difference of opinion, but I have some definitions here that we're going to go through, and I just want to talk about it for a minute. See, in my mind, there's no such thing as right-wing socialism. And a lot of people start gasping, oh, my God, what about, you know, Hitler's fascism and right-wing and blah, blah, blah. But they've been pushing, in my opinion, they've been pushing that lie for decades. And I don't know if it was to protect Marxists, you know, communists and socialists and, you know, people of that ilk, you know, like to protect them, like they were going to be okay, like socialism is okay. National socialism is right wing, you know, but I just don't see it that way. Okay. Cause Hitler's party, you know, his political party, Adolf Hitler, was the National Socialist German Workers Party. Okay. For me, that's a left wing group. Now Hitler was a Marxist. Okay. He was a Marxist. And so was the Antifa communists that were fighting him in the street back in the '30s. You know, there were the brown, in fact, earlier than the 30s, from the 20s, there were the brown shirts, the black shirts, and they were fighting each other. But they were really cut from the same piece of cloth. They were Marxist, you know. And, you know, the brown shirts versus the black shirts. Now, Hitler quoted Marx all the time. His national socialist system was based on socialism, Marxism, with cultural and race hate used as a rallying point to foment violence against Jews and gypsies and blacks and other communists, other Marxists, the police, and others, so he could gain power. He implemented gun control, and he implemented national socialist health care, and that was to control the population. And it sounds very similar to Marxism and socialism. Was Antifa an anarchist group? Well, Antifa was born as they were a communist movement, just as fascist, just as violent, just as threatening as the Nazis were. They didn't have the numbers. Hitler and his crew were much more brutal. But, you know, they fought it out. You know, they fought it out. And, you know, the propaganda that went around, you know, Hitler was fighting against the Bolsheviks. You got to stop the Bolsheviks. You got to stop the Bolsheviks. They're going to come. They're going to take our industry. They're going to, all these things, you know, and, you know, they would talk about the master race and all that, but you could say that, you know, you could say Stalin, you know, what was the difference? What was the real difference between them? They were nationalists. They were Marxists. They were violent, you know, and I just don't see it. So if you put the Constitution, say, as the middle bar, the Constitution is the middle. All right, and you go to the right, okay, you know, the conservatives, states' rights, then you, what do you go from there? You know, they want to say that jumps to fascism, but no. If you go to the right, there's less and less organized government, less and less organized government. You have independent groups, just, you know, controlling smaller areas and, you know, maybe fighting over, and it ends up in anarchy to the right, right? States' rights. Small government, limited government, small area government, to anarchy. Those are the anarchists. And that's not Antifa. Antifas are Marxists. And it bothered me. People that I respect were out there saying that Antifa and the anarchist groups. No way. No way. The Nazis were Marxists in the same way. Because if you go to the right of the Constitution, it's liberals, progressives, socialism, communism, national socialism, fascism, totalitarianism. And now there's global fascism, which is worldwide. It's not just any particular race, because none of these movements are really about race. They use people. They use race. They use the Nazis used the hate of the Jews, just like the Democrats today in America use the African American community, have used this racism to maintain their power, you know, their moral superiority for 60 years. For 60 years. But seriously, where does monarchy fit in? How about the monarchies? You know, the kings, you know, don't forget, you know, United States and Israel both fought against colonial monarchy to declare their independence. So where do the monarchies fit in? Are they left wing? Are they right wing? I don't know. But either way, it's totalitarianism. Either way, it's fascism, no matter how you look at it. And if you look at a definition, here's the definition from Merriam-Webster, the definition of fascism. A political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as the fascisti, that exalts nation and often race above the individual, and that stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. Well, what's the difference with what the communists did? Right? You had the different groups of during the communist revolution, and they fought each other, the red and the white. In another definition from Merriam-Webster, a tendency toward or actual exercise of strong autocratic or dictatorial control. Well, what's the difference? And then they give an example. From the first hours of Hitler's invasion in the Soviet Union, the propagandists on both sides of the conflict portrayed the struggle in stark Manichean language. The totalitarian nature of both regimes made this inevitable. One side stood Hitler's fascism, the myth of German supremacy, and on the other side stood Stalin, communism, and the international proletariat revolution. But it was the same. It was the same thing, you know. It's the same thing, and there's always a contradiction. And then from the Cambridge Dictionary, to get another definition, fascism, a political system based on very powerful leader, state control, and being extremely proud of a country and race in which political opposition is not allowed. Well, that sounds like a lot of things. And how about black nationalism? Are they Nazis? Huh? Are they right-wing fascists? No, they're Marxists. And this has really disturbed me. And this isn't necessarily anarchy groups that, you know, they use it, the press uses it, the propagandists use it on both sides. You know, fascism. Here's another definition. A political system based on a very powerful leader. Stalin? Mao Zedong? Pol Pot? Franco? Mussolini? You know, it just disturbs me. But Antifa is not anarchists. They're communists. They're Marxists. And they use the same type of propaganda, the same type of control, the same type as any Marxist group, any Marxist revolution. In fact, I would consider them to be as close to the Nazis as there can be. Mobs, dressed in black, beating people up, hitting people in the head with sticks. You know, brings to mind Glasnost. You know, when they went and they smashed all the glass in the Jewish communities. But that's really been disturbing me, and I just wanted to talk about that for a second. Because I still believe that there's no such thing as a right-wing socialist or right-wing Marxist. I just don't believe it. But they've been pushing for a long time. I always thought it was to protect, you know, the socialists. You know, because they really felt, you know, there's a lot of people that really believe that socialism is some kind of answer to something. But it just ends up as totalitarianism. It just ends up as global. It's going to end up as global fascism now. because Antifa is in Europe. Antifa is all over the place. I'm sure they got groups in Israel. I'm sure they have groups in South America, you know, with other names. But they're pushing for the same thing. They're pushing for the same thing. Now, I'll tell you, you know, we've all been living through this, and it's been really difficult. It's been just beyond difficult. Maybe that's why I'm worried about this, because I've had too much time to think. You know, but for the past 2 weeks, we have watched buildings burned and defaced, our culture smeared, our monuments to history. Not that we agree with the Confederacy. I mean, how could I agree with the Confederacy? Look, I'm Jewish, okay? I am Jewish. What does that mean? That means we've been attacked by every culture and group around. Okay, everyone. The Holocaust was only 70-something years ago. It's fresh. I'm second generation. We lost family in the Holocaust, which existed, because there's actually deniers that go around and say that it didn't happen. You know, but these monuments to history, you have to learn from the mistakes. You know, it's not necessarily that you're just simply glorifying somebody when you have a statue or a monument at a battlefield. Could have been a critical battlefield where they lost the war. I mean, I don't know why, you know, Columbus, for me, see, 1492 in Spain was the Inquisition. So you had to convert to Catholicism, especially the Jews had to convert to Catholicism or die. And I always believed that there was a lot of Jews on those, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria with Columbus. Because Columbus came from Italy, convinced the queen to finance him. He got three boats, and he loaded them all up, and they left. And I think a lot of people escaped. It wasn't a lot of people on those boats because they weren't that big. It wasn't like the Titanic. But, you know, and they left. But these monuments to history, they're just getting destroyed. I mean, they knocked the head off of Christopher Columbus. I mean, did you see what they did to the Lincoln Memorial? They literally broke Abraham Lincoln's head. Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, you know, the Republican Party founded the Emancipation Party to end slavery. That was one of their main platforms, was to end slavery in America. And Abe Lincoln led that war against the Democrats in the South to end slavery. Yes, it was the Democrats that were the slave owners. Only 1% of the Southern people were slave owners, 1%. But they were the slave owners. A lot of people in the South were, you know, they were given the propaganda and all the hate about the North and the Republicans, and they're all coming, and they're all, and, you know, they were fighting for their families, their culture and stuff, just like any war. You know, the people that were benefiting for that were the Democrat landowners, the ones that owned the plantation, the ones that were putting the Confederacy first over the country. But we have to learn from, I mean, you know, this is something ISIS does. This is something that the Nazis did. This is something that a lot of people did to destroy the remnants of history, you know, but you won't learn from it. You continue to make those mistakes. So the monuments are getting destroyed. Our police are getting viciously attacked and murdered. You know, they're getting hurt. I mean, businesses are burned down. People are burned down. All these things are burned down. And what do they come up with? They come up with to defund the police, which is about as an absurd a political slogan as I think I have ever heard or there ever was. You know, and of course, the mainstream media, you know, those sellout fakes, they're more like the Praetorian Guard, as Levin used to always say. Because now I really see it. I really see it now. The media lined up behind us, supporting it all, as if it had been, had anything to do with George Floyd's murder by a real sick in the head cop. Okay. And I read today that they had butted heads. They worked security at a club in Minneapolis, and apparently they had some conflicts. You know. And this guy killed him. He murdered him. As soon as I saw it, there was no question in my mind. Oh, the cop, you know, is a black guy. He's killing a black guy. I'm glad. No. My first reaction was manslaughter, at least. Man two for sure. It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. But now it's morphed into something else. You know, George Floyd got three funerals. Three funerals. At a time when in many states, funerals were illegal due to the virus. Due to the virus. You know, it was nice. You know, God, when I die, I hope we've got the kind of funding and support. And, you know, I was born in San Francisco. I lived in New Jersey. Now I'm in Florida. You know, I'll take three funerals just to, you know, for everybody to get around so they can remember me. But unless there's some kind of a political motive behind it, it's not going to happen. A political motive that had nothing to do with the life of George Floyd. Nothing. Three funerals. Now, major corporations in America have all lined up behind this, right? They all supported the idea that police brutality is the number one issue facing America today, the African-American community specifically. That's the number one issue. That's like global warming is the number one issue, okay? That's like, it's absurd. I mean, if you look at the statistics, don't back it up. You go to the FBI site, look up the statistics. In 2019, right, there were 10 unarmed African-Americans, one woman, 9 men, that were killed by police. 5 of them were in the struggle of fighting. 4 of them were indicted, arrested. I mean, that's a small percentage. Now, I'm sure that there's ways of improving policing, but the police have been really laid back in a lot of cases. More white people were killed in 2019 by police, unarmed white people were killed by police, than African Americans. I mean, those are just the statistics, the facts. Of course, they're going to say, well, yeah, there's all these stories you don't know. Okay, all right, there's all these stories we don't know. But police brutality isn't one of the top issues. And this guy was a scumbag, okay? Is he as bad a scumbag as the guy that assassinated the 2 New York City police officers a couple of years back? You know? But they turned this whole thing. But how did they do it? How did they do it? How do they have this power, this political power, this media influence and political power? How do they do it? Well, one way they did it, this article in the Los Angeles Times that I saw today, I posted all over the place today. And, I'm on Parler, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I posted it. But the title of the article, because you want to know how they do it, where do they come from? Because people were lining up quick. Now, there's a lot we don't see. We don't know how many people called Amazon. We don't know how many people called all these businesses. All of a sudden, George Floyd and police brutality are like everything to all these companies because they're scared. They've been intimidated. You know, you want to go back to the Marxists and how they do it. You know, in the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, you know, he was the one that, they were going to put a hit out on him. Remember the writer? Well, here's a quote from him. He said, attacks on the police is an old communist tactic to eliminate law enforcement. The Bolsheviks successfully unleashed widespread attacks on police in the run-up to the October Revolution. So the Antifa communists that are primarily, you know, that are, I guess they're primarily white, and only Black Lives Matter, which seem to be majority white, are using this horrible situation that happened to George Floyd. And George Floyd was he's no innocent person. I mean, here's a guy that did a home invasion and literally held a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach while demanding money and drugs. I mean, you know, he was in and out of jail a lot of times, and maybe he turned his life around. I saw a video that he put out right after all this happened where he was questioning his own community's commitment to peace and education and coexistence. So maybe he had an epiphany, you know, but you know, the pressure on the media, I mean, professors are getting, a professor got fired, I believe at UCLA, because he wouldn't give people the day off that wanted to go to the march. because it was time for the test. He had tests scheduled. The school fired him because he wouldn't give him the day off to go march. But this is much bigger than Floyd's murder. This is a Marxist revolution. We're living it. We're living in the middle of it. It's right in front of our faces, and they're intimidating everyone. Now, we the people, we haven't even gone out on the streets yet. I did hear a story where the Antifa was going to show up to some city in California, and the Hells Angels said they were going to meet him there, and they canceled the rally. But the American people have not gone out there yet to fight, we the people. And hopefully we don't wait too long. But this is insane. Now, this article from the LA Times, this is one of the ways that in the back scenes of everything, that they're getting this done. And that's why us conservatives and those lazy, lousy Republicans that don't fight, like all this has been going on for weeks. Where the hell was Mitch McConnell? He came out and made some statement today. Where the hell has he been for 2 weeks? Standing up for America, standing up for the police, standing up for the culture, standing up for the things that you should stand up for. And you're right, there's probably ways of making the policing better. But how about the crime rate? But now, the title of this article from the LA Times was "The Spreadsheet That Shook the Theater World, Marie Sisko's Not Speaking Out List." And you can go Google it, Marie Sisko, C-I-S-C-O. And Jessica Gelt, she must have a lot of money, if you know anything about Gelt. Marie Sisko was fed up. America was in turmoil, reading from the article. Turmoil rocked to its core by the brutal killing of George Floyd at the knee of a police officer in Minneapolis. Protests against systematic racism and injustice had been raging for 5 days, and the nation's theaters were excruciatingly silent in expressing support. The theaters. Now, Sisko, a producer who had worked at the New York-based National Black Theater, the Public Theater, the Lee Daniels Entertainment, and the Apollo Theater, was not surprised by the crickets from these institutions, self-professed bastions of liberalism and equality, but she felt hurt and angry all the same. So Sisko created a public Google spreadsheet and titled it Theaters Not Speaking Out. It was open for anyone to edit, and it had a simple directive, kind of like Wikipedia, right? Add names to this document who have not made a statement against injustices toward black people. At 5:50 p.m. on Saturday, May 30th, she shared the document on her personal Facebook page, as well as with the Theater Folks of Color Facebook group to which she belongs. It has more than 7,000 members and serves as a supportive space for people who share thoughts and experiences about working in predominantly white institutions. So they're racist. What was that about fascism and racism? Anyway, working in predominantly white institutions and provides a place to, quote, unite around common concerns and plan collective direct action. Quote, I went to bed after, this is her talking, quote, I went to bed afterwards and thought 50 names will be on the list in the morning and I'll be over it, Sisko said by phone from Atlanta, where she had been living since March. But it started to get a lot of traction. And there are now over 400 theaters it listed from across the country. Now, theaters are listed alphabetically by city, beginning with Barter Theater in Abington, Virginia, and ending with the Palace Theater in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. In between are some big institutions, companies that produce plays and musicals, as well as venues that largely present touring productions, including the Wallace Center for Performing Arts in Beverly Hills, the Goodman Theater, and the Second City in Chicago, Yale Repertory Theater in Connecticut, Playwrights Horizon, and on and on and on. It does not appear to be a coincidence that the following day and into June, theaters began posting messages of solidarity with Black Lives Matter, another violent Marxist group. They're trying to credibilize these guys. They're trying to say that they're a political organization, that they're really looking out for black lives. But they're not. They're looking out for a Marxist revolution. You know, the response was problematic because often the statements were perceived to have come from a place of shame and felt slapped together or hollow, Sisko said. Well, no kidding, because they were being intimidated. So this type of intimidation, social intimidation, threat to your livelihood. I mean, college professors are getting fired. Editors at the New York Times are resigning because of this type of pressure. People are losing their jobs, but they're using this propaganda. They're using this hate propaganda. And especially when they're using race, it's racism. They're using racism to intimidate people, to follow them, to give them money. And this is how it begins. This is how these Marxist revolutions begin. And it's incredible. Now, the liberal left, they're always driving their agenda with catastrophes. And then the expert advice, right? And we just lived through a big one like that. You know, perhaps, and from the Canadian Free Press, I saw this article. It says, perhaps before believing the climate change experts and begin turning back the world's technological clock 200 years, implementing the aggressive Green New Deal, we should look at the incredibly wrong predictions regarding this pandemic. Now, we're not forcing liberal wealth redistribution ideology down the throats of hardworking citizens. The customary method liberal Democrats use to get Americans to obey their agenda quickly is the creation of an imaginary catastrophe. The budget debate is an all too familiar fake crisis routinely employed by Democrats seeking money for their social engineering projects. And in this article here, Rick Hayes, he writes that the turmoil seems to always come with the phrase, quote, if the budget isn't passed with our added extras, the government will be shut down. And since a rational media does not exist anymore, the American people are told of the impending calamities that await, even though government shutdowns in the past have never caused the left predicted disasters. The fear tactic is often enough to get Democrats all the extra pork they want. Now, controlling when and how Americans get exposed to the next false crisis is the job of the Democrats, the DepNets, Democrat Propaganda Network, such as CNN, MSNBC, and the New York Times. If it helps the left, it's aired, published, repeated. And it matters not how many times dire predictions or bogus results from a government shutdown that have been proven entirely wrong. The history of incorrect predictions by the so-called experts is long and storied. An eye-opening post in April 2019 by Mark Perry focuses on May 2000 issue of Reason magazine by award-winning science correspondent Ronald Bailey, who wrote Earth Day, Then and Now. Bailey's article questioned the accuracy of the predictions made about the time of the first Earth Day in 1970. Now, according to Bailey, the prophets of doom were not simply wrong, but spectacularly wrong. According to Bailey, some of the highlighted expert predictions in 1970 were, by 1985, air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching Earth by one half. Urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive the pollution. If I'm not mistaken, 1985 is a few decades ago, right? Now, Peter Gunter, a North Texas State University professor, wrote, by the year 2000, 30 years from now, the entire world, with the exception of the Western Europe, North America, and Australia, will be in famine. Enter the latest expert predictions regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. An April 2020 AIER article showed the immensely incorrect forecast published by the Imperial College of London that predicted 2.2 million deaths in the United States. The number of deaths in the United States is 99,013 as of right now. Now, in Real Clear Markets, April 2020 article, the CDC projected 2.4 million to 21 million people in the United States could end up in the hospital. Overwhelming emergency wards, the ICUs, and as of this writing, the total cases are 1,676,460. So they're extraordinarily wrong. And they use this kind of information to twist people's heads, to create a crisis, and then have the answer. Now, the problem that the Democrats have for me, okay, is that liberals have controlled the black community, controlled its culture, controlled its education, controlled, you know, via the welfare programs and not funding the schools and not fixing up the neighborhoods for 60 years. 60 years from 1920 to 1950s. Okay, the African American community was rising, graduating from colleges. They were rising, intellectuals. They were in the government. They were getting elected, you know, until the Democrats, you know, during Reconstruction, where we started to hang people and shoot people. You know, you talk about voter intimidation. They used to put guys, the Klan would be there with guns in front of the voting booth to turn African Americans away from voting. You know, a lot of people died in the 50s trying to register people. A lot of Jews died for that cause. My father was part of that cause. That's how I know about that. And they're trying to keep their power again. You know, all the strife for blacks is in the Democrat-controlled cities and ghettos. Violence, bad schools, drugs, broken families, the abortion clinics. You know, it's time they voted Republican again. They used to be Republican. As a matter of fact, in the 1890s, turn of the century, African Americans were being elected to Congress as Republicans. But now there's Antifa. Antifa. They're not anarchists, they're Marxists. Now, I don't know if you guys heard what they did today, but Antifa, the domestic terrorists, they're definitely domestic terrorists. They took over a 6-square block section of Seattle. They set up a security watch and they called for armed volunteers. You know, that kind of goes against the Democrats' gun control argument, right? So they called it a free Capitol Hill zone. Democrats want to defund the police. But don't worry, Antifa will defend you for a price. Antifa domestic terrorists set up an autonomous zone on these 6 square feet. The Antifa terrorists are advocating for folks with firearms to take shifts defending the barricades. That's incredible. You remember what happened on the Brady Ranch? When those guys tried to take over that thing, they sent in the federal militia and just took them out of there. They arrested them all. The Bundy Ranch, right? Now, the news out of Seattle this morning is super inspiring. The East Precinct has fallen, and the Free Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone has risen in its place. And there were pictures all over the place. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw it. But at some point, they finally released their list of demands. Right? They released, Jim Hoff reported, Gateway, that they released the demands after taking over the 6-block watch. The list includes reparations and ending the police department. The Antifa terrorists are advocating for folks with firearms to take shifts defending the barricades. The Antifa group set up barricades. Andy Ngo was reporting there yesterday. Now, here's a guy, they almost killed him. And Andy Ngo said that Seattle Mayor Mayor Jenny is allowing a dangerous situation to fester. Antifa militants have taken over and created an autonomous zone in a city. Now, that's like a Sharia zone, right? In Dearborn, Michigan, there's a no-go zones in America where the Muslims are. Because what we're facing here, folks, I just wanted to add, this is a Marxist-Islamist revolution going on. They are colluding. they are a coalition. And the police precinct was abandoned. Antifa set up barricades to create a border, calling for a border. See, they created a border, calling for volunteers to provide an armed guard. So the news out of Seattle this morning, you know, is just, it's unbelievable. They got a sign here, "Welcome to the Free Capitol Hill." What does that mean? Now, this is what this medium was the one that I guess they gave it to publish. So here's what they want. "Given the historical moment, we'll begin with our demands pertaining to the justice system. One, the Seattle Police Department and attached court system are beyond reform. Beyond reform. We do not request reform. We demand abolition. We demand that the Seattle Council and the mayor defund and abolish the Seattle Police Department and the attached criminal justice apparatus. That means 100% of funding, including existing pensions for Seattle Police, at an equal level of priority. We also demand that the city disallow operations of ICE in the city of Seattle." You know, now the Marxist Islamist intent is going to get clearer and clearer. Number two, "In the transitionary period between now and the dismantlement of the Seattle Police Department, we demand that the use of armed force be banned entirely. No guns, no batons, no riot shields, no chemical weapons, especially against those exercising their First Amendment right as Americans to protest, which means you can set up a blockade and get guys to protect it with a gun and shoot to kill anybody that tries to break it. Number three, we demand an end to the school-to-prison pipeline, which is the fault of the Democrats if that exists, and the abolition of youth jails. Why aren't they telling, you know, anyway, get kids out of prison, get cops out of schools. We also demand that the new youth prison be built, being built in Seattle currently is repurposed. Number four, we demand that not the city government nor the state government, but that the federal government launch a full-scale investigation into past and current cases of police brutality in Seattle and Washington, as well as the reopening of all closed cases reported to the Office of Police Accountability. In particular, we demand that cases particular to Seattle and Washington be reopened where no justice has been served, namely the cases of Lucia Falatogo, Demarius Butts, Isaiah Obet, Tommy Lee, Sean Furr, and Charlene Lyles. Five, we demand reparations for victims of police brutality in the form to be determined. This is just Seattle. Just imagine if every city had the same list. Six, we demand that the city of Seattle make the names of officers involved in police brutality a matter of public record. Now, I don't know if you heard, but they did two Antifa people, three Antifa people followed some police officers home and lit their car on fire in the driveway. Anyway, seven, we demand a retrial of all people of color currently serving a prison sentence for violent crime by a jury of their peers in their community. Eight, we demand the decriminalization of the act of protest and amnesty for protesters. Now, protesting to them is vandalism, is violence, is burning, is defacing, is destroying. You know, nine, we demand that the city of Seattle and the state government release any prisoner currently serving time for a marijuana-related offense. 10, we demand that the city of Seattle and state government release a prisoner currently serving time for resisting arrest. 11, we demand the prisoners currently serving time be given full and unrestricted right to vote. 12, we demand an end to prosecutorial immunity for police officers in the time in between now and the dissolution of the SPD. We demand the abolition of imprisonment, generally speaking, but especially the abolition of both youth prisons and privately owned for-profit prisons. 14, we demand in replacement for the current criminal justice system the creation of restorative transformative accountability programs as a replacement for the imprisonment. 15, we demand autonomy be given to the people to create localized anti-crime systems. What does that mean? They're going to have the Crips protecting Brooklyn, right? 16, the Bloods won't be happy. 16, we demand that the Seattle Police Department, between now and the time of its abolition in the near future, empty its lost and found and return property owned by denizens. 17, we demand justice for those who have been sexually harassed or abused by the Seattle Police Department. 18, we demand that between now and the abolition of the SPD that each and every SPD officer turn on their body cameras, and the body camera video of all Seattle police should be a matter easily accessible for public record. 19, we demand that the funding previously used to the police be redirected, socialized health and medicine, you know, socialism. They want to finance socialism. And there's a whole bunch of more stuff on here. I mean, this is insanity. This is absolutely insanity. Now, earlier in the day, okay, it was reported on Breitbart, a large group of Black Lives Matter protesters made their way to and inside Seattle City Hall. It was last night, led by none other than a city council member. Now, Kashima Sawat, a sitting member on the Seattle City Council, could be seen in pictures and videos which showed hundreds of protesters filing into City Hall after Sawat allegedly let them in. Once inside, the protesters began chanting, "Durkan must go," a reference to the Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan, whom the protesters believe allowed the police to use aggressive tactics against the demonstrations, such as tear gas. It wasn't against the demonstrations. It was against burning businesses down. It was from beating people over the head with sticks. You had Antifa. You had only Black Lives Matter there because they're both Marxist organizations. All these corporations have been intimidated into giving them legitimacy. The mainstream media lines right up and gives them legitimacy. These are violent, antisocial Marxist revolutionaries with their Islamist friends. Antifa and Only Black Lives Matter, it's a Marxist-Islamist coalition. It's a Marxist movement. But they pick easy targets. They picked really easy targets. You know, they're not going after the tough targets. How did they pick the easy targets? Any Democrat-controlled city and state, because the Democrats, okay, have maintained, these people have voted for them blindly, decade after decade after decade, and they have let them down in every way. The education sucks. There's tons of violence. There's drugs. There's an abortion clinic on every corner. They've managed to maintain the African-American community's population at the same number for like 35 years. I mean, Margaret Sanger would be celebrating. She was a eugenist, you know. She founded Planned Parenthood. She'd be celebrating. You know, but while all this is going on, there's violence still going on. Businesses are still being smashed. Cars are still being lit on fire. People are being beaten. Where the hell is the media? The media is taking pictures of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden kneeling. Kneeling. There's actually people out there washing these people's feet. White guilt, whatever they want to call this. There's no, you know, this white privilege is a bunch of crap. There were tons of migrant farmers in this country struggling during the Depression. Now, my family, both sets of my grandparents came here after 1900. I had nothing to do with slavery. They were immigrants. I'm second generation. So what the are they talking about? Okay, and while all this is going on, there's a manhunt was underway today for suspects that opened fire on a police station and wounded an officer. Downtown Paso Robles, California, was on lockdown Wednesday morning after a gunman opened fire at a police station, wounding a deputy. This is what the Democrats have wrought. Not only have they mishandled their own support groups, their own communities, because all these communities where you see this in, these are Democrat-controlled. Why is there no criticism of the Democrat Party? Why is there no criticism of the Democrat management and their welfare state? Okay? Why not? I mean, look at L.A. Look at L.A. Look at St. Louis. Look at Baltimore. Look at Chicago. Look at Detroit. Look at New York. Look at Newark. Look at Camden. Look at East St. Louis. Baton Rouge. I mean, the list goes on. They're all controlled by Democrats. Well, if the Democrats had all the answers, why hasn't anything improved? And since nothing has improved, why for the last 60 years did these people vote in a block to put these people in power? Why? Why? Now, the Democrats call to defund the police. I don't think it's going to work. I mean, all of this is about getting rid of Trump, really. And the Democrats want to get rid of Trump because they had a global socialist fantasy that they were trying to execute, and Hillary was going to be the next step in it. And Trump screwed them up. So they want to get rid of him. So they're going to use all this hate by these people, all this propaganda and lies about our culture, about the police, about economics, about who's to blame, to try to win this election. So the Democrats now are all calling to defund the police. But the overwhelming majority of Americans oppose rising police abolition movement. They oppose it. And the Washington Free Beacon's writer Charles Fane Lehman wrote that Democrat lawmakers, operatives, and commentators are calling for the defunding or abolition of America's police departments in the wake of Officer Derek Chauvin's killing of an unarmed black man. Oh, yeah, George Floyd. This is all about George Floyd, right? Now, while the proposal is popular among the party's progressive activist wing and on Twitter, it faces a hard wall of resistance among the wider public. A recent YouGov poll showed that fewer than 20% of Americans of all parties supported any cutting of the police funding. And some of the black communities were standing up and saying they want more police. I read a statistic today. For every 10 cop added, stops one more murder. Because you know what? They're going to end the police. The Marxists are going to try to get their way. All these businesses are going to support, and they're going to all virtue signal. The Democrats are going to virtue signal so they can keep their power because it's their job, right? I saw that idiot from the House today. It's my job to make, you know, that's all they're worried about is their job. They don't care about black people. They've never cared about black people. The Democrats were the slave owners. Okay, the Democrats were the Klan. And when Nixon kicked their ass in two back-to-back elections, they knew they had to flip the script, and they confused everybody. And they've been lying forever. They lie about Trump. Trump was getting awards from Al Sharpton, from Jesse Jackson. He got awards for sinking. He was at an award ceremony with Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks. They all got the same medal for helping to advance the African-American cause in education. But all they do is lie. But this police defunding or abolition has long been a key idea of the radical left. And as we read before, this is an old communist technique. Okay? Hitler did the same thing in Germany. He attacked the government's police department, said they were brutal, they were protecting these evildoers over there in the government, and we got to destroy them. It's the same crap. It's the same crap. You know? National leadership, meanwhile, has sought to either distance itself from the defunding, as in the case of presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden, but he didn't go kneel, or define the idea away as simply shuffling funding, as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who better lose this next election, did on Monday. This is absolutely insane. And in the meantime, you know, these were not, you know how they say, well, they're mostly peaceful. That was the big line, right, for 2 weeks. They're mostly peaceful. Oh, they're peaceful, yeah. Well, there's a couple of bad apples, a couple of anarchists. No. The violence was being wrought by Antifa, or Antifa, however you want to say it, and Black Lives Matter, and the Islamist groups that are there, that are the street people from CARE, which is a Hamas front, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're here. They're in our Congress. They're here. And that's why you hear about all this stuff. But, you know, in the middle of all this, you know, the coronavirus suddenly disappeared. It didn't matter anymore if you had 60, 70, 80,000 people all on one street, all, you know, shoulder to shoulder marching. It didn't matter anymore. But you know what they did, these protesters? It was reported in just the news. Dr. Birx said that dozens and dozens of coronavirus testing sites have been destroyed by the rioters, not by the peaceful protesters, but the rioters. They burnt them down. They destroyed them. They smashed them up. Look what they did to New York City. Look what they did to Macy's, for God's sake. You know, what does that represent, capitalism? This is a Marxist-Islamist revolution. Black Lives Matter. Just remember the five Dallas officers that were assassinated. Black Lives Matter. You remember what they used to chant? Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. You know. These aren't good people. This isn't a political action group, but they got a lot of power. No one speaks out. The Democrats have to play to them because they're only going to hold on to their power if they can control this group. They think they can control this group. They're using racism as the cause, but the real end game here is a Marxist takeover of the United States, socialist takeover of the United States, Islamist takeover of the United States. And here they are. They're destroying all these testing centers. This is insane. But this is what you get from the Democrats, okay? This is what you get from the Democrats. The Portland police chief, okay, her name is Jamie Resch, R-E-S-C-H, Jamie. She quit, and she made a black cop her replacement. I mean, how's that for just getting away with absolutely no responsibility? It was reported in the New York Post by Jorge Fitzgibbon. Portland's white police chief quit suddenly on Monday and tapped a black police lieutenant to replace her, saying he's the exact right person at the exact right moment for the job. She's just protecting her own ass, okay? Jamie Resch, who had been top cop in Oregon City for less than 6 months, so no wonder they can manipulate these. They took soft targets. And like I said before, Antifa, they picked easy, soft targets of people that were going to roll over, simply roll over for the violence. They weren't gonna demand anything. They were gonna stand up like Trump was trying to get people to do, and other states did. Other states took care of their business. You didn't hear about them. But in California and in Chicago and in Minnesota and in New Jersey and in New York, you know, the bastions of progressive national socialist Democrats, because that's what they have in common, is this this national socialist ideal. And she said, quote, "I have asked Chuck Lavelle to step into the role as chief of the police bureau." You know, stick the black guy in there. The freaking place is burning to the ground. You run out and stick the black guy in there, right? Now, Lavelle, a Portland police officer since 2002, has long been active in the community, serving as a high resource officer and a mentor in the local Boys to Men. Oh, I thought all these cops were violent, racist abusers. He's in the Boys to Men program. He also served as an executive assistant to former police chief Daniela Outlaw, interesting last name, the first African-American woman to hold the post. Lavelle said the announcement caught him by surprise. "I am humbled," he said. "I'm going to show up every day with a servant's heart. I'm going to listen. I'm going to care about the community and care about the people, the organization. All I can do is be me." Hmm. He said he was disturbed by the videos of Floyd pleading for air for nearly 9 minutes. We all were. See, right, folks? We all were. It was disgusting. It was immediately a manslaughter, murder, two charge in my mind. Immediately. The guy's sick. The guy was sick. Now, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler said he was surprised by Reese's decision, but he was 100% confident that Lavelle is the right person for the job. I wonder why. I wonder why. Now, going on to some other hypocrisy, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, he said, you know what he said? He was asked by Tucker Carlson. You know, I want to just say something about Tucker Carlson. This man's been on fire. I don't know if you guys watch his show. Fox is going down the toilet. Okay, but Laura Ingraham and Hannity and Tucker Carlson, I mean, that's really kind of all they got left. I mean, Brett Baer, these other sellouts, I can't stand them. And it's getting worse and worse. But Tucker Carlson, he actually asked him this question about enforcing social distancing rules on the protesters. And he says he can't imagine doing that. Phil Murphy didn't think the Bill of Rights applied to lockdown protests or religious services. And via the National Review, they wrote that New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy indicated Monday that he has no plans to enforce social distancing rules on large groups gathering for anti-racism protests, even as non-essential businesses are allowed to reopen only in phases and other large groups are prohibited. Quote, "I can't imagine what it would look like if we said to people, actually, you have to stay in, you have to ignore systematic racism." I mean, are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I don't know what they're talking about, okay? Like, my wife and I, we raised four boys. I think all their heroes were black, pretty much, all the way through high school. We didn't grow up like that. I don't know where this racism is. It's like these Trump polls. Trump's 14 points down. Who the hell are they talking to? But he said, "I can't imagine what it looks like for rates of public safety." It's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And Mayor de Blasio, he was not going to be outdone by Mayor Rouser Bowser, who painted Black Lives Matter and defund the police in the street leading up to the White House. Okay? He was not going to be outdone by that mayor. And he ordered the words Black Lives Matter to be painted throughout the city. New York mayor, who's a real putz, Mayor Bill de Blasio, as part of an effort to show solidarity, because this is how they try to hold their power, with Black Lives Matter, is having words Black Lives Matter painted in major streets throughout New York City. Mayor Bill de Blasio's announcement, this was reported on actually showbot.com, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced on Tuesday that New York will paint Black Lives Matter on prominent streets in all five boroughs. The message will be painted first on the street near City Hall and then other locations in other boroughs in the days to come. What is that going to do for the African-American community? This is virtue signaling so the Democrats keep their power. The regular African-American people that are not part of this Marxist movement, that are not part of this Marxist Islamist revolution that's going on in our streets right now, they really should consider voting Republican. I mean, at least that was the party that was founded for emancipation to end it. And while all this is done, black businesses are totally decimated. They were decimated by the lockdown, and now they're decimated by the fact that their stores are totally destroyed. They're in shambles. They're in ashes. So who really gained from all this crap? You know. But CNS reported, Michael Chapman reported yesterday, that 60% of the voters believe some media want to shut down to drag on and on to hurt Trump in November. Now, a new survey released this morning shows that 59.8% of likely voters, liberal and conservative, believe that some members of the media would like to see the coronavirus shutdown drag on so it hurts Donald President Trump's chances of re-election in November. This is just more evidence of how at odds the American liberal media are with the American public, said Media Research Center President Brent Bozell. Honest journalism has been replaced with leftist advocacy. Even in these divisive times, both conservatives and liberals can agree on one thing: the media have it in for Trump. You know, everybody can see that. And Trump's going to, you know, it's funny, Trump announced that he was going to start doing his rallies again. And what happened? Fauci came back out from under his rock. Okay, and suddenly, we have to worry about coronavirus comeback. Suddenly, we can't have groups. Now that we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people marching around, and it was so bad in some of these areas that the National Guard now had started testing positive for coronavirus. So obviously, those people were never tested. They didn't go get tests. I mean, you had to make some effort to go get yourself tested, right? You know, it's not like you needed a voter ID, you know, the racist voter ID. I mean, I don't know how a voter ID is racist, but whatever. But, you know, it's just incredible. And during these riots, you know, they went to a synagogue. They tried to burn it down. They wrote F Israel and Free Palestine on the wall. So there's a lot more at work here. The systematic racism and bigotry are the lifeblood of the left. These are the causes that they use to pull people together, hate causes. And remember what I said about that fascist definition? They said people that thought they were like a superior race. Well, think about it. Antifa is not an anarchist group. Antifa is a Marxist group. Black Lives Matter is not a political organization. They are a Marxist group. CARE, a front for Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, they don't care about America. As a matter of fact, a Muslim historian, this was written by Robert Spencer, Muslim historian says the U.S. is collapsing and Islam is the only power fit to lead the world, and that France and Germany will be Islamic republics very soon. You know, and Leonard Cohen once said, you aren't going to like what becomes after America. But this Palestinian historian, Ghassan Wassel, Islam, not China, is fit to lead. I mean, this is what we're facing. And we better really, really wake up. But, you know, some good news. George P. Bush, he's the only Bush that's still in public office. He came out, you know, he's the son of Jeb, okay, and George W.'s nephew. He came out and supported Trump. I mean, I didn't think that bounced all over the media the way they tried to say these other guys, that these other guys weren't going to vote for him, you know. Old, dried up Republicans aren't going to vote for him. It doesn't matter. But George P. Bush came out and said he would. And the emails got released Friday. And Ben Rhodes and Jake Sullivan, you know, those bums, the masterminds, the liars, the leakers, they're in deep crap, and I couldn't be happier. So maybe we'll see some good things going on. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in. Feldman World Review, I'm Brian Irving. Wednesday nights, 10 p.m., Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Tune in, and remember, folks, you got to keep the faith.
It's your world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911. has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the June 10th, 2020 podcast of Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, your host here, thanking you for tuning in. And remember, Wednesday nights, 10 p.m., Sunday nights, 10 p.m., Sunday nights at 10 p.m. And also look for posts on Facebook, Parler, and Twitter, because there might be other shows popping up here and there when I can't keep my mouth shut anymore. And just remember, folks, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.